Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
The hymns of Fanny Crosby, they have always been among my favorites. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. Something wonderful and glorious in that feeling that, as a true Christian believer, you are hid with Christ in God. That speaks of security. Safe and secure. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in justice, and a man shall be like an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. Like rivers of water in a dry place, like the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's one of my favorite verses. The Lord Jesus is that hiding place. A hiding place from the wind. Now, you can go ahead and be foolish if you want to, and when the hurricane winds are blowing, just go ahead and take a dare. Stand out there. Lots of people have, and they've never been heard of since. But it's a whole lot smarter when the storm is blowing to find a hiding place. That's not being a coward. That's being smart. If you want to be foolish, don't seek a shelter. Just stand out there in the elements and let the wind blow you away. No, you don't have to find a hiding place in Christ. You don't have to be under the wings of the Almighty. You can be foolish and just stand out there in the stormy elements and let it sweep you off your feet. But if you're smart, you're going to find a hiding place in Jesus, because he is a covert from the tempest, the rivers of water in a dry place, and he is like the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's Jesus. What does this verse make you think of? Doesn't it remind you something of Psalm 91, the secret place of security? He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Oh, what a delight to have a relationship with Christ, to know that your sins are forgiven. Because as we repent of our sins and we turn to God with all of our hearts, which we must do, and the Bible says the Lord is rich to all that call upon him, but we've got to call upon him. God doesn't just come just clear out of the blue and bless us. We have to call upon him. We have to seek him. That's the biblical way. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. But to those who don't seek, and to those who don't ask, and to those who don't knock, the Lord passes us by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. But even as blind Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord stopped and called for him and said, what is it you want me to do for you? He said, oh, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately the blind man, his eyes were opened. So may we, and our eyes be opened, and our sins be forgiven, if we will really and truly repent of our sins, make things right with God, call upon him, and then we too will find that shelter under the wings of the Almighty. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, that's where I want to be, don't you? Under the wings of God. Praise the Lord.
Safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Love can sever. enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever?
And it came to pass the next day that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and many people. Now when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and many people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is raised up among us, and God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. A very interesting account. Sometimes it is very difficult not to be offended in Jesus. The word offended refers to a stumbling block. Do you know where John was at this time? While all these healings were taking place, and while a dead man from Nain was raised to life again, and deliverances, great deliverances, were being wrought in the lives of others, you know where John is? He is in prison. No fault of his own. He was standing up for righteousness. He let King Herod know that what he was about to do in marrying his brother's wife was immoral. It was wrong. And what did it cost him? It cost him jail. He was thrown into prison. And as you read the story, you come to find out he never left prison. He was beheaded. Now, John was the forerunner of Jesus. He was that voice crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He was the first one who came along baptizing. He was the forerunner. And now he's in prison. Everything had closed in on him. Everybody else, it seemed, was being delivered and healed and blessed and helped, except him. And he sends messengers to Jesus and says, Are you the one who should come, or look we for another? It's one thing to be out there in the wilderness of Judea preaching and baptizing and doing the work of God, and it's another thing to be all shut in, closed in those four walls of that little cell of his prison, and having gloomy thoughts, and his heart and spirit sinking into despair. Art thou he that should come, Lord Jesus, or do we look for another? I mean, he had been the one who was the forerunner. John was the forerunner. And now it seems that he's having second thoughts. And Jesus said, "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." But lest we are too quick to criticize John the Baptist because of his second thoughts about Jesus and being right on the borderline of being offended because of the way things were happening, lest we be too quick to criticize John, let's think about ourselves and let's think about some others. Do you remember even Mary, the sister of Martha, and Martha herself, both of them, when their brother Lazarus died, both of them said to the Lord, when he did finally come after 4 days, and they thought he should have arrived immediately. As soon as they sent word, they thought that Jesus should have gotten there, but he delayed his coming until their brother Lazarus died of his sickness, and now he had been buried for 4 days. And both of them said to Jesus, this one that they loved so much, this one that they had entertained personally in their own home, and they said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, that wasn't just making a statement. There was a lot of resentment in that, and a lot of hurt feelings. Lord, where were you? We called you. Why didn't you come? If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And you remember on the road to Emmaus, those two disciples walking along very sad, and Jesus himself drew near and began to walk with them. This was after the resurrection, and they didn't know it was Jesus. And they poured their hearts out to the stranger, and they said, we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. But alas, he's gone. They crucified him. Dashed hopes. Jesus said to his disciples before the crucifixion, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. In all of these, he didn't do what they fully expected him to do. He didn't treat them fairly. His doctrine was too severe. What happened was his fault. And the world around him didn't want him, and people were offended at him. Some knew him too well, and the familiarity caused them to stumble over him. They said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Or maybe his doctrine was too severe. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And again, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And even some of the stories that he told seemed to be so unfair, like the laborers who were working for their wages. And you remember the ones who started just at dawn, and they worked so hard and so faithfully, and they bore the heat and toil of the day. And then others were employed at the very last hour, at the 11th hour, and they only worked 1 hour in the late afternoon after the heat had gone away and it was more pleasant. And those who had borne the heat and toil of the whole day just knew that their wages would be more. But lo and behold, when they all lined up to get their paycheck, if those who worked just for 1 hour received as much as those who had worked all day, and that sure didn't seem fair. Nor did it seem fair in the story of the prodigal son when the elder brother was left high and dry, seemingly, Well, everybody was rejoicing because his younger brother had come home, his younger brother who had spent all of his money in riotous living, immorality, loose living, and now he comes home and they kill the fatted calf and put the best robe on him, and everybody has a feast and rejoices, and nobody says to the elder brother, "Oh, brother, you are so good, and you've been so faithful and kind to your father. You never left home." And this made the elder brother so jealous. It just seemed all so unfair. Well, lots of things happened in our lives, in your life and in mine, that sometimes is very difficult not to be offended in Jesus. When at times he doesn't do what we fully expect him to do, or seemingly, and I use the word seemingly because you know it's not so, but seemingly he doesn't treat his children fairly. Or maybe his doctrine is too severe, or what happened was his fault. I can give you 3 verses of scripture that'll knock all those things right in the head. Because indeed, we should never be offended in Jesus. Never. Never. Even though a lot of things in life don't make sense, a lot of things we don't understand, and there can come a lot of disappointments and many, many dashed hopes. And maybe there are times that we would want to say, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." Or we trusted that it had been you who should have helped us in this ordeal. But where were you, God? I'll give you 3 good scriptures that will be such a tremendous anchor for you when the stormy winds of disappointments and dashed hopes and confusion and disillusionments come sweeping across your life. Number 1, Isaiah 55, verse 8. Underline this in your Bible and don't forget it. "My ways are not your ways," the Lord says, "and my thoughts are not your thoughts." Memorize that, learn it well. It will keep you from ever being offended with God. When you realize that God's ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not yours, God knows what he's doing and everything is in his control. So relax, trust him. Another verse, John 13, verse 7, Jesus said, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." What a precious verse of scripture that is. We don't have all the answers. Many things are obscure. Many things are difficult for us to comprehend. But we only know in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So Jesus says to us, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." So trust him. You'll never be offended in Jesus. If you know that he doeth all things well, and just because you don't understand what's happening, just trust him, and someday he'll make it plain. And another verse, Romans 8, verse 28. And of course, this is the best of all. Because if you believe this verse and you live according to it, you will never be offended in Jesus. Even when he shows up late, even when he disappoints you, when you thought he ought to come through for you and he doesn't, or whatever it may be in your life. And that verse says, "And we know." Thank God for that assurance. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." So, dear friend, blessed is he whose faith is not offended when all around his way the power of God is working out deliverance for others day by day. Though in some prison drear his own soul languisheth till life itself be spent, yet still can trust his Father's love and purpose and rest therein content. If it seems that everybody else is getting healed, everyone else is being delivered, but poor John the Baptist is languishing in prison, God knows what he's doing, and we trust him. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts not our thoughts. What he is doing, maybe we don't fully know right now, but someday we shall know hereafter. But one thing we do know, all things work together for good to those who love God. If you believe this and you trust the Lord and relax in his arms, in his keeping, in his providence, you will never be offended in Jesus. And you will continue to say, even though I don't understand what the Lord may be doing in my life, one thing I know, he doeth all things well. And another thing I know, Jesus is very precious to me. Whatever comes or goes, he's all I need. He's the only one I adore, the only one I worship. And though I may not understand all of his ways, I trust him. I love him. Someday I'll know. Well, I have enjoyed being with you today as we've shared together in morning devotions in the past half hour. This is John Thrasher, and our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Have a nice day. Put your hand in God's hand. Love him with all your heart, and stay close to him. There's no other way to live, is there? There's no other way to live, but you know that.
Jesus.